blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 112, stanzas 2 and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me, O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, and thy truth be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day. 2 and 4 of 112. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thereof the first 28 verses. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thus far. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, dost thou reign? Are all things under thy feet? We may indeed see it in all the creation, but there are so many questions so often in the life of thy own children, and whether thou dost live and whether thou dost sit upon the throne. For thy servant did say, I am poor and needy, and yet he could say, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. O Lord, the world does not think upon the poor, the wicked persecute the poor, but thou thinkest upon them from thy throne in heaven and lookest down upon all the things that are done in the heaven and in the earth. O Lord, that we might feel it also this day, those who cannot direct their life, those who are persecuted by the prince of all the devils, and who would destroy thy church if it would be his will. There would not be one existing upon the whole world, and there would be no one that believes in thee. O Lord, attacking that little faith, O ye of little faith, and yet there are such great attacks that do come against it. O Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of thy people, and they have no power in and of themselves, and they are dependent upon thee in everything. O Lord, their profession is not enough for them. All they need that they might hear it from thy mouth. They need that thou would show it unto them. O Lord, thy mercy, let me see. To me thy loving kindness show. Lord, open it unto me. O thou hast shown it to me before. Wilt thou show it unto me again? I have sinned it all away. Once again, I have left thee days without number, and my unworthiness only increases the longer that I live here upon this world, as so that if thou wouldst ever come again, it will be a greater wonder that thou ever came in the first place. O Lord, thy goodness let me see, thy graciousness, thy mercy. Thy loving kindness, show it unto me. Open thy holy word. Oh, give it to come within my heart and speak unto my soul and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I will be thy God and thou shalt be my son. Oh Lord, how many do desire to hear this from thy own lips, and that thou may comfort them here upon this short meshek of a journey here below in the wilderness where so much is so often dry. They have not a little to drink, Lord. Oh Lord, those living complaints, they are coming forth out of their hearts. Oh, that thou might hear them from heaven, their dwelling place, and that thou may give water out of the rock in the wilderness, and that they might drink. Are they not there, thy own, Lord? Ah, could it be a little cloud overshadowing in that wilderness, where that heat must be endured, and where the cold of the night, O Lord, that thou would be a fire also to lead them in the way. They do not know the way. Lord, they are lost in and of themselves. They cannot know the next step that they have to take. Oh, thou art he that doth lead them through that wilderness. Lord, that thou may also show thyself also this day, in the days that we do live with our children, that there may be a testimony out of the life of thy own people and out of their own hearts. Lo, Jehovah feeds the poor, and he makes his prisoners glad. O Lord, that song, that new song, may be put in their mouth, and that thou may make them rejoice a little here among all the miseries of this world. And it is all because of our own fault. It is all our own sin. We acknowledge it, Lord. We do not feel it the way that we ought to feel it. We are so hard and we are so cold.
We take thy blessing so for granted. But oh, could it be that thou may open thy word and open our hearts, bring it in with power. Oh, may it be the power of conviction also. May it be in this very afternoon hour, in thy holy day, wherein thou dost promise to work amongst thy own church, where two or three are gathered together. Ah, could it be, and that that sword of the Spirit might strike into a cold, dead sinner's heart, that he may be awakened out of his sleep. Ah, Lord, that he might have to cry out of the battle. Oh, that he might cry to thee for the first time in his life, to lift up a sigh and a groan to thee, against whom that he has sinned and before whom he cannot stand in that great judgment to answer one question of 1,000. Oh, Lord, we all need the same thing, both young and old, each and every one of us. And we cannot give it to ourselves, not for one moment. It all comes from thy Holy Spirit, who is so almighty and who is so all-powerful to make us into a new creature with hungers and thirsts which we have never known in our life, after life eternal. Oh, draw nigh unto us, Lord. Then we will draw nigh also unto thee. Ah, then we will come with weeping and with supplications unto thy blessed footstool. And when thou wilt draw thy own children again, when they also shall come again with weeping and supplication, mourning all that backsliding life that they have gone after their own idols, and that seeking all that is carnal and worldly. O Lord, wilt thou renew and restore thy own work in the midst of the years in wrath? Remember mercy. Look upon us in all the needs and cares of this life. Thou knowest all that are sick, Lord. Ah, Lord, thou knowest each place, younger, older, that thou may heal, and thou puttest a judgment upon us. Open our eyes. We do not see it. Oh, we need to be given to know it in our hearts, where all this comes from. And we do not deserve that thou would give restoring mercies to our bodies. Oh, that thou may give us to feel it, to bow so deeply and humbly before thee, but that thou may look upon us in thy mercy and give a true supplication in all of our guilt and in all of our misery and all of our need and all of our poverty and all of our helplessness. That we might come especially with the need of our poor soul, our sin-sick soul, with a soul leprosy crying out unto that Son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, could it be even as an unworthy Samaritan, oh Lord, that we might come also in great humility and thanksgiving before thee, to acknowledge thee for thy great goodness and for thy grace over us. Look upon all the needy in mind and in body, and all the needs of a family, of business, and of country, of nation. Thou knowest all that they are. Oh, look upon all the children and the youth in the weeks that are upon us. Protect and watch over them in thy mercy. And wilt thou look upon all the teachers and instructors in our school? And wilt thou give also a little time of rest? Remember our theological school, those instructors and the students as well. Lord, thou knowest the moving. Thou knowest all that must take place. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left? Wilt thou remember thy servant that must receive those treatments beginning on Tuesday? O Lord, be on his right and on his left in thy mercy. And all could it be, give a blessing as that heavenly physician for both soul and body alike. May it be for his own and for the welfare of his congregation and our denomination. Raise up more men in thy favor and thy service. Look upon all that are afflicted for thy great name's sake, persecuted, the beloved also for the Father's sake. Lord, wilt thou look upon them, and wilt thou remember them in all that they must suffer, and bring them to a true knowledge of their own guilt in the rejection of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, look on all the needs. We forget so much. Remember who need thee. Lord, look upon all that mourn. Thou knowest also the sorrows of the hearts of those that must miss one another. Remember those that were united in the bond of holy matrimony in the week that is gone by. Bless them, Lord. Look upon them, and that thou may give that true soul's desire for that spiritual union. Look upon us in this hour. Lord, help us. Oh, we are also poor and needy. Lord, we need thee. We need thy spirit. We need thy help. Oh, without thee we can do nothing. Without thee it is all vanity, and it is all frailty, and there is no power in it. Lord, we ask it of thee first, before we begin to speak unto our flock. We ask it of thee first, and that thou mayest come, that thou mayest give ground, Lord, ground that is now broken up, that thou may give a place when that seed of thy word will come, that there may be something a little broken up, Lord, a place for it to fall, a place for it to go down, and that it may go down deep, Lord, and it may not come up for a long time, but it may go down for a while. Oh, could it be, Lord, with the dew of thy spirit to water it, and that it may redound all to thy honor and to thy glory and to our soul's welfare, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 29.
Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that the Son of Man did come to minister. What does that mean? To minister, that is to be a servant, to be an attendant, that is as a domestic, as a home slave. Thus that word is specifically pointing to a very low place, to one who serves as opposed to one who is being served, who is sitting down to meet. That was the context of the speech of the Lord Jesus at that moment, because his disciples were doing what we are so prone to do, what is living in our hearts. James and John, they are asking if they may sit on the right and on the left in his kingdom. That is now what is coming from the flesh. You say they are people of the Lord. That is right. They have a new heart. And now there is still that flesh. And they are not able to suppress and that flesh. And the Lord Jesus has to say to them, my disciples, seek a low place. Seek just the place that is at the bottom, that you may be as I, that is to come in humiliation. The Lord Jesus, servant, disciple, apostle, later, Paul, wrote to the Hebrews, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Thus a minister, he said, the Son of Man came to minister. He says a minister of the sanctuary, but that word is not the same. It is a different word. And here it is speaking about a public minister, a public office, a minister of the state or of the church. So the emphasis that is in that word is no longer in that low place, because to be a minister, to serve the state or the church, that is a very honorable thing. And now that word that the apostle uses is fitting a new context, because the Lord Jesus said it to his disciples that he had come to minister when he was in the state, children of his, what? His humiliation. He humbled himself. But now we read that he says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so he also was exalted. And yet he may still serve. Yet still he may be a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And that ministry in the state of his exaltation began in the first step of his exaltation, that is in his resurrection, which we consider together in Lord's Day 17. Lord's Day 17, Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 45. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Thus, faith in our risen minister, first risen to minister a right to a purchased life. He has overcome death that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. Risen to minister a right to purchased life. Second, risen to minister an entrance into spiritual life. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. That is the entrance into spiritual life. Third, risen to minister a pledge of eternal life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Thus, faith in our risen minister, risen to minister a right to purchased life, an entrance into spiritual life, and a pledge of eternal life. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death. That is, congregation, what the resurrection is. It is an overcoming of death. And here we are speaking in a special way about the temporal death. What do you fear more than death? What do you fear, young people, more than death? What greater comfort is there for a man in death when he may be laying on his deathbed than the hope of the resurrection from the dead? You say many take comfort in the hope of annihilation. That dead is dead when they are laying on the deathbed. That is true. That is because of the fear of punishment. The inability, because guilt doesn't go away just because you say God does not exist. The fear of standing before that judgment seat, thus to wish and to hope, it's not possible. That actually we are nothing more than a product of the animals. Just an evolutionary beast. And that when we pass out of this world, there is no account for us to give of the height of our creation. But congregation, there is no man that does not love himself and that does not love his own life. That is what Satan himself confessed when he said, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. So if you will take away that threat of punishment upon a man, then that annihilation disappears as something that is desirable. Then every man wants to hold on to his life. So self-preservation, that is the first law of nature. We are not discussing here the general resurrection, because that is discussed by our fathers in Lord's Day 22. But here it is being discussed, the basis for the resurrection from the dead on the last day. That is the resurrection of Christ. You say, is that the basis for the resurrection of all mankind on the last day? No, it is not. Because the wicked will not be resurrected on the basis of the resurrection of Christ. They are going to be resurrected on the basis of their own creation, that God has made them and that they are accountable But now we are speaking here about God's people. We are speaking here in the catechism about God's true church. And they are raised not just because they are accountable anymore, but they are raised on the very basis that they have been bought. Not only their soul has been bought, which has entered into glory, but also their body has been bought by whom? By that surety that we have spoken of. What does Paul say? He says, Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Thus Christ is the cause. Thus the resurrection of Christ is very, very important for that true church. That is now the basis of the hope of their resurrection from the dead. The basis of their hope of eternal life. Well, you think about that, children, how that church of God was on Good Friday so, so very, very despairing. But then on Easter morning, then they said, the Lord, He is alive. That was now the salvation for their own souls. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? First, by His resurrection, He has overcome death. That means He has proven Himself to be more powerful than death. If you young people would wrestle, then you say there is one who overcomes. And now, the Lord has also wrestled. He has wrestled with Satan himself. And death that is brought about by Satan, he is holding in death. He has that power given to him by God. And the Lord Jesus has wrestled with him. And we read here that he has overcome death. That means that he is more powerful than death. Is that now not the thing that we so greatly fear? That is death. You say, what is more powerful than death? As Solomon says, there is no discharge in that war. When we will fight with death, we cannot shoot at it. If we shoot at it, we cannot kill it. We cannot prevent it from overcoming us. But by His resurrection, the Lord Jesus has shown what His great power is, more powerful. You say, well, He has been raised by His Father. Yes, that is true. But the Lord Jesus also says that whatsoever things the Father doeth, those also the Son doeth likewise. Thus He is one with the Father in His doings. Thus He is raised up by the Father, but He is also raised up by His own power. That is a divine power. That is proof that in His divinity, then He still lived. And He had that power to raise Himself up, even to throw death off of Himself and to reunite His body with His soul. I have power, He says, to lay it down, and I have power to take my life up again. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, He says, I will raise it up. As He says also, His servant, He is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He must be the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God because He raised Himself from the dead. The Lord Jesus says Himself, I am the resurrection of the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. How can He remain dead? Because he is the life. He is life itself. It is impossible for him to remain in the grave. For as the Father had life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Thus the Father is life, the Son is also life, and he can give his body that life. That truth of the resurrection of Christ is testified of where? We read it in the Word of God. Despite all the attempts of the devil, despite all the attempts of man to keep him in the grave, we can read that history of the resurrection of Christ clearly and all of its details in that Word of God, long ago prophesied also by David, that he says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The enemies mocked him while he was dying on the cross. He says, you have no power, save thyself. But that enemy was ashamed. Later, that was in the resurrection of the dead. Then they all fled, and no one came back to say anything anymore, because they are made ashamed. That is always the way it is, and the way it will be for God's church. Oh, the devil, he seems so often, does he not, to have the victory. You say, it is going wrong with me. Oh, Satan, he seems so often to have that upper hand. You say, if there is any life in me, if that could be true, well, what is now the strongest part? I can feel so little of it. So often I feel like it is nothing but death, that it is not there, that there is no life. And then you are afraid that the devil he has completely overcome. You say, the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, but sin seems to have dominion over me. That shall never be. God permits this for a while in his church as a trial unto his own people. But in the end, it cannot be. It cannot be, because God himself has promised it. Then he has said that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of that serpent. And that took place. It took place here upon this world on Good Friday. And we have now Easter, the resurrection of Christ. That is the proof of it. And that is now the way it goes in the life of all of his people. Through great discouragements. It is a way that went so down, wasn't it? Those disciples, and they cannot understand it, because he is setting his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. There are now all his enemies. And now all their hopes and all their expectations, they are going where? They are going all in the grave. And indeed, he died. And then out of that death, congregation, out of that death is coming life. That is the way it goes. And that is discouraging for his church. But it is so necessary a way, because there is a flesh that has to die. And there is not our life, but there is the life of God. Then he needs to come forth out of that death. The last Lord's Day, we heard about the necessity of his satisfaction, that it would be a full satisfaction. And who has to do that, children? Do you remember it from last week? Who has to give that satisfaction? Well, you say, that is the work of the... Remember the word? Say, that is the work of the surety, right? The surety is one that makes it sure for his people. And if he will make it sure, then there is no question, because he is now able to take over from his people that full debt, because that church of God is not able to make satisfaction. But how can they know now? How can they know that the Father is satisfying? How can they know that the law is satisfying? Everything that that law is demanding of God's people, that they obey the law, that there is a payment for all that has not been obeyed. How can they know that? Children, if your father and mother are angry at you because of your misdeeds, that happens sometimes, that they are angry with you, then that is your own fault, isn't it? And now if they are angry with you, how can you know when that anger has passed? And how can you know if they are not angry anymore? Because where does that anger live? That lives in their heart. Cannot see it. That is an emotion. That is a feeling. That is in their heart. How can you know if it is gone? Well, you see, it's by the things that come out. Maybe they say it, or they smile at me again. I receive once again their favor. Are they sure things? You say, I'm sure. Yeah, you say, I am sure. I can tell. I can tell. Because otherwise, those smiles of my father and mother, they would not be there. And now, what about a judge? How can a man know? How can we know? You say, there is a man. And how can we know whether that judge has declared that he is acquitted of his guilt? I say, because I see him walking outside of the jail. That is right. He is not in prison anymore. He is let go free. And so now it is that freedom that man is experiencing that is now an evident token and that he has been released and that he has received the favor of that judge. What is now death? That is a punishment. It is a judgment. It was not always there. Can you imagine that? Before the fall, no death. What would there be to be afraid of? You say nothing. Nothing. It was only after the fall, that is sin. Oh, how awful is sin. And now, this death that is demanded by what? It is demanded by the law of God. Thus, if death is now, as our fathers say, overcome, if death is overcome, then there can only be one cause of that. And what is that? That the law must have been satisfied. The curse of the law, the demand of the law, everything that the law is requiring must have been fulfilled. Because this man, he has come out of that prison. Death is overcome. Thus, the resurrection of Christ is the unmistakable evidence of the complete satisfaction of the law. And that the Father is smiling upon his people. Thus the church has a clear testimony in that resurrection. Without the resurrection, How could we know? How could we know that the law was satisfied completely to the end? And that there is nothing anymore, not the smallest iota, that is standing anymore between God and His church. Without the resurrection of Christ, we cannot know this. But the law and righteousness, justice itself, is actually demanding the resurrection of Christ. How? Well, the Lord says, do this, and thou shalt live. Live. Christ did do this, and therefore He also shall live. He must live. The law is on His side. The law is calling for His release. Thus, the fathers say, what does the resurrection of Christ profit us? First, by His resurrection, He has overcome death, that He might make us partakers of that righteousness which He hath purchased for us by His death. You say, that was Him. This speaks about us. Christ did not die for His own sin. Pilate even testified of that. I find no fault in this man. Isaiah long ago, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, He says, we are healed. Thus, our fathers say that righteousness which He hath purchased for us by His death. Not for Himself, no, but for His church. For the iniquities, the transgressions of His church. Thus, based upon that suretyship of Christ, His resurrection was not merely for His profit, but that is for the profit of His church. That is the great marvel of Easter. The church. The church therein on Easter morning is declared to be free. And who declares Him to be free? That is His own Father. They are free in whom? They are free in that surety. And it is justice itself that is demanding the release of everyone who is united to Him. Because our fathers say that this righteousness of this elect church needs to be made partaken of. Do you believe that? Do you feel that? Do you desire this? Because if we are not made partakers of this, then it will not profit us. Can you make yourself a partaker of this? You say no. But how do you know that? Did you ever try to do that? You say, well, it is by faith, so I must just believe it. That is what I must do. And when you tried it, did you feel anything? Did you make yourself a partaker of it by coming at a congregation in such a way? No. That is experienced to be impossible. When a man will be honest with himself, and when he will truly try, to whom does that work belong? It belongs to Christ. What do we read? He is a minister of the sanctuary. Thus Paul says, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. He had to rise. because he had not only to purchase it, but he also had to apply it. He also has to bring it in our hearts. He also has to give it out. John says, of his fullness have all we received. Received it of him. 232, 2 and 3. His saving help is surely near to those his holy name that fear. Thus glory dwells in all our land. Now heavenly truth unites with grace. And righteousness and peace embrace in full accord. They ever stand. 2 and 3 of 232. Faith in our risen minister, first risen to minister a right to purchased life, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness that he hath purchased for us, who now accepted spoke about a substitute who now accepted that righteousness of Christ on behalf of his people, instead of his people's righteousness. You say that is the Father. That is right. He is the judge. The congregation here, our fathers are speaking about the ministration of it. Who does the ministration? Who administers this? That is not the Father. No, that is the Son. How do his people hear it? Out of the mouth of the Father. Paul says he speaks to us by his Son. He is the mouth of his Father. We read in God's Word that he is the Logos. He is the Word of the Father. He is the Word of God. Christ said to his disciples, I have not spoken of myself. My Father gave me a commandment, what I must say and what I must speak. And when he spoke and when he speaks always on the behalf of his own Father. Thus the Lord Jesus said to that palsied man, he says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And what did the scribes say? This man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That is right. Only God, only the Father is able to forgive sins because only the Father is the judge. But what did the Lord Jesus answer them? He says, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You say, well, he is not the judge. No. But he is the minister of the administrator, we might say, of the work of the Father. Thus he said himself that his Father had given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So he has the authority to execute it. It is from the Father. The Father is the one who is forgiving sin. But the Son is the one who is administering. He is executing that. That is in the life of his church. That was for that palsied man. He proved it. He says that you may know this. And then he says, rise up and walk. And that will be also in the last day, when he will come again, as we hope to hear the Lord willing, to judge the quick and the dead. The administration of it is in his hands, as we have read it also in the portion that is before us. And then in the end, when everything is placed under his feet, he will then give that kingdom again over to his Father. Thus, when he appeared unto John, he says, I am he that liveth, and I have the keys. I have the keys of hell and of death, and I administer the judgment of my Father. Where did he get that from? He got that from his Father himself. The congregation that time is always going so fast. You think so too, young people? You say, if we could just stop that clock a little while on Sunday. Second, risen to minister an entrance into spiritual life. Our fathers, they say, secondly, we also by his power are raised up to a new life. Thus, that is the second benefit, not just to give a right, but to actually give life. The second benefit, and that is actually flowing out of that first benefit. Because if you come to the border of Canada, you know, children, that you get stopped. You cannot just drive in. No. And they say to mother, father, we want a passport for everyone. And then they have to show that everyone has a right. You have a certain right to come into this country. And if you have such a right, well, now you are free to come in and you may enjoy all the benefits that there are to being here in this country with us. And now when Christ ministers that right, what is now the right? That is in the forgiveness of sin. And when he ministers that right, well, afterwards, what's flowing out of that ministration? All the benefits. Then that church may receive everything that is flowing out of all that mediatorial work, the work of that surety, and that has paid that price for his people. That's why our fathers say, secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. That is second. After that, that right is received. Now life, that is the benefit. What happened when we sinned? Then we died immediately. And now the benefit from the payment of that debt is that spiritual life may be received. Not first the life and then the right. That is Roman Catholic. That the Lord gives life first, and now with that new life that you have, you may now merit the right. You now earn the right with the new life that God has given to you. That is Roman Catholic. And sanctification goes first, and then afterwards comes justification. Yeah, it's through Christ, yes, because you had to receive the life from him. But it must be through your own work after you have received that life. No. You may ask God's people, we may ask Paul, whether he received the ability to merit through the life, the new life that was given to him. Could he merit it after he was converted? He could not do that. Nah, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. That was not before his conversion. That was after his conversion. And then he may say, no, first must come justification. And out of that justification is flowing the life. Is flowing all the benefits that Christ has bought for his people. Thus, that life is now the fruit of that satisfaction, and Christ himself is raised from the dead in order to grant that fruit unto those to whom he is granting that forgiveness. Unto those to whom he is giving that life. They have the right to it. A right. That is a right that is legal, that is before God, because that surety has paid their price. And now that according to the law of God, according to justice of God, then those fruits, they have to follow. Thus that life that must come in the life of his church. You say, but life, that life, because Abraham was also born again, wasn't he? And that was before the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. So how can the life of God's people, spiritual life, come from the resurrection, out of the resurrection of Christ? Because there were many of God's people given spiritual life before he rose. That is true. Butterzinus, who wrote the Catechism, also has a commentary about it. And he writes how that those who were raised from the dead, spiritual life given before his resurrection, that is still flowing out of the resurrection of Christ, that was to come. Thus, it is still all, because there was no question about that, right? Whether he would rise from the dead. It was prophesied and it was said by God himself. But you say, now is Christ the applier? Isn't he the one that merited that salvation? I thought the Holy Spirit is the one that applied the salvation. That is right. The Spirit is the one that does the application, but Christ is referred to also as the applier because he with the Father does send the Spirit. And we have heard what Paul says, that he is the minister of the sanctuary, of that true tabernacle that was pitched by God and not by man. Thus, the spiritual resurrection of the church, who are conceived and born in sin, living under that wrath of God, is all flowing out of that death and resurrection of Christ. The death to merit it, and his resurrection to apply it. And now in regeneration, that church is united to him by a true faith. The Lord Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. So that life is flowing out of the vine and going in the branches. And if the vine is dead, then what? They say, well, then the branches die too. That life that has to be in those branches. And when that one is born again, they do not realize where that life is coming from. Are you born again? Are you born again? You say, maybe, oh, could that be? That I am born again? That is what I would like to know. If it is true in my life. If we are born again, it is all coming out of him, but we may not know that yet. That little baby doesn't know it yet either, right? When he is born into this world, children, your little brother, your little sister, say, ask him, are you alive? I cannot tell you. But you know he's alive. How do you know he's alive? Well, say, he cries. I hear him. He cries. Are you born again? Then you will be crying too. And breathing after God. And hungering and thirsting and panting after him. That's life. That's life. Now that's a fruit of? That is a fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know that yet. That needs to be learned. There are steps in that. They need to grow. But that life is now planted. Finally, our fathers, lastly, the resurrection of Christ, a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Thus we say, Christ is risen to minister not only a rite, not only the beginning of spiritual life, but to minister a pledge of eternal life, a pledge of our blessed resurrection. So what is a pledge? A pledge is a promise. But with that promise comes also a sort of security. Then someone says, may I loan some money from you? And then he's given money, but he has to give something to say, well, of his own, so I will give it all back. So Judah, Tamar, he gave his signet and his bracelets and his staff as a token. He said that she may have that as a promise and that I will actually do what I have promised for you. Now our fathers say that the resurrection of Christ is a pledge to the church, that it is a security to the church, that they will also rise again. That when they are laying on their deathbed, they may have a hope. That they also will rise again from the dead. Paul says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that is the Holy Spirit, dwell in you, that same spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit which dwelleth in you. Thus, how is this now a pledge? Well, that is based on the unchangeable nature of the Spirit of God and of the work of that Spirit. That he is saying that that Spirit is one and he works the same in everyone. And if he has worked in Christ, that same Spirit is in him. If that same Spirit is truly dwelling, he says, in you, then he says, you, he will also do with your body what he has done with that body of Christ. So Paul writes to the Colossians, he says that Christ is the head of the body. Thus, when that Spirit is in the head, that Spirit is also in the body. That is one and the same. And he must work the same in the head as he is working in the body. Thus we heard here, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. There you have it. Thus the church of God has her pledge. That is now the hope of the church in those moments that they may be given to look beyond everything that is carnal and everything that is passing away. The hope of the church. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Why is that? Because the Lord is a jealous God. And because the Lord always has to complain about his own people. What does he say? My people are bent on backsliding. And the Lord says, I will visit upon you, that is my own people, I will visit upon you the days of Balaam. I will bring you into the wilderness. The Lord deals with his people as with sons. And what son is there, the apostle says, whom the Father chasteneth not. Thus Paul says, we, out of all people in the whole world, if Christ is not risen, we are the most miserable people in all the world. Why is that, young people? Why is that? Well, Paul says, the wicked people in the world, they enjoy the world. They enjoy the world, the entertainments of the world, the pleasures of the world, the sins of the world. You want to do that too? Paul says, that is not so of the church. Cannot do that anymore. And if the Lord gives to you that new life, that is a fruit of his resurrection, then it's going to change. Paul says we are the offscouring of all things. Then that world that is dying to that people. And now Paul says, if we cannot enjoy the world, and we do not enjoy the world, and we cannot live in all the entertainments of the world, and as well, we have no hope after this life. Because Christ is not risen, then he says, as it were, we have no enjoyment here, and we have no enjoyment hereafter. And we are therefore of all men most miserable. Then we might as well live it up in the world. No, he says. No, he says, because Christ is risen. And therefore this pledge is so very valuable to that afflicted and to that tried church of God, whose hope that is lying not here in the time, whose hope is lying, congregation, past the grave. And now it is that pledge that makes that people to wait and to endure afflictions. James says, we count them happy which endure. Congregation, are you dead? You have to say that. You have to say that I am dead. I am dead in trespasses and in sins. Sometimes a little jealousy in my heart when I may hear something from someone who lives, say they have it. That is now a portion. If I only could get it. I don't know how to get it. Well, congregation, here is one who is alive. Why did he rise? He rose to be minister, to minister, to serve in that holy sanctuary of God. He appeared unto John on that Isle of Patmos, and John, we read, he fell as a dead man before him. That is what it will be for us too. If we have to stand before this mighty judge administering justice for his father on that last day. You know what he said to him when he came in the dust before him? May we do that? May we do that ever? To fall at his feet as dead. And then he said to him, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, he said. Amen. Surely, truly, that shall be. And I am now the exalted minister of that sanctuary, of that true tabernacle that was pitched not by men in the wilderness, no, but it is pitched by God himself. He says, I have the keys, congregation. I have the keys of hell and of death. Where are we going to go then? Have you not life? Is it all dead? Is it all deadness? Here is a man born in our flesh that we may approach unto him who has now the keys on behalf of his father to open, the keys to open that door that goes unto eternal life for those who have sinned. And who are not able to pay the price for whom everything is so hopeless. Oh, he has the keys and he is the surety. the surety of his church. That is why Peter said, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there is so much to say. There is so little time to say it. Life flies away. Oh, give us to seek with our whole heart. Draw our hearts. They are hard because of deadness. They are cold because of deadness. But even when there is life, then there is so much felt hardness, so much felt coldness. But thou art able to revive it. Ah, Lord, wilt thou blow upon it a little, and that it may inflame again from under the ashes. Bring us safely home. Forgive and take away our many sins in speaking and in listening. Crown it with thy indispensable blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 183, 2, 3, and 4. Blessed be the Lord who daily our heavy burden bears, the God of our salvation, who for his people cares. 2, 3, and 4 of 183. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.